नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 2, Text 20 to 30. So I'll read Text 20 to 29, and then we'll do Text 30. Tachai katata girikananashaya kare nubhivarana yuttapascharan Sakantakam kichakave nuvetava vishalagumam prarujanvanaspatim. The leader of the elephants who lived in the forest of the mountain, Chikut, once wandered toward the lake with his female elephants. He broke many plants, creepers, thickets, and trees, not caring for their piercing thorns.
Yaganda matra darayoga jendra Vyakradeo vyalamrika sakatka Mahoragas chapi vayatavanti sagora krishna sa ravashamaryam.
Simply by catching scent of that elephant, all the other elephants, the tigers, the other ferocious animals such as lions, rhinoceroses, great serpents, and black and white sarabas fled in fear. The chamari deer also fled.
Vrika varaha mahisarkshasaya kapucha shala vrika markatascha anyaptakshita harinasasaryas charantyapita yat anukahena.
By the mercy of this elephant, animals like the foxes, wolves, buffaloes, bears, boars, gopuchas, porcupines, monkeys, rabbits, other deer, and many other small animals loitered elsewhere in the forest. They were not afraid of him. Purport. All the animals were practically controlled by this elephant. Yet, although they could move without fear, because of respect, they did not stand before him.
Sakaratapta karibi kanervi vita matachut karabhar anututa girinkarina paritapakampayan ishevyamana lilukarmada shanai sarorilam pankachare nirushitam chikam viduram madaviva lekshana vitasayutena tishaditena tat sarovarabhyasam atagamatutam.
Surrounded by the herd's other elephants, including females, and followed by the young ones, Gajapati, the leader of the elephants, made Chikuta Mountain tremble all around because of the weight of his body. He was perspiring, liquor dripped from his mouth, and his vision was overwhelmed by intoxication. He was being served by bumblebees who drank honey. And from a distance, he could smell the dust of the lotus flowers, which was carried by the lake of the breeze. Thus surrounded by his associates, who were afflicted by thirst, he soon arrived at the bank of the lake.
Vikayatasmin amritamba nirmalam hemaravindat palarena rushitam papanikamam nijapushkarotitam atmanam adbisnapayangataklama.
The king of the elephants entered the lake, bathed thoroughly, and was relieved of his fatigue. Then, with the aid of his trunk, he drank the cold, clear, nectarian water, which was mixed with the dust of lotus flowers and water lilies, until he was fully satisfied.
Sapushkareno dhitashikarambubi nipayansam snapayan yatakahi krinikareno karabangshadurmada Nachasta kicham kipano chamaya.
Like a human being who lacks spiritual knowledge and is too attached to the members of his family, the elephant, being illusioned by the external energy of Krishna, had his wives and children bathe and drink the water. Indeed, he raised water from the lake with his trunk and sprayed it over them. He did not mind the hard labor involved in this endeavor.
Tam tatakashin ripadaiva charita kaho bali yang charane visagahi adichayagam vyasanam katokacho yathabalam soti palo vichakame.
By the arrangement of Providence, O King, a strong crocodile was angry at the elephant and attacked the elephant's leg in the water. The elephant was certainly strong, and he tried his best to get free from this danger sent by Providence.
Atataram yutta patim karenavo vikrishamanam tarasabaliyasa vichukrishurtina tiyaparekacha parshnikrahas tarayitum nachaskam.
Thereafter, seeing Gajendra in that grave condition, his eyes fell very, very sorry and began to cry. The other elephants wanted to help Gajendra, but because of the crocodile's great strength, they could not rescue him by grasping him from behind.
Nyutyatore vam hibandanakayar vikarshator antarato bahirmita samasahasam vyagamam mahipate sapranayos chittamamam sata maraha.
O King, the elephant and the crocodile fought in this way, pulling one another in and out of the water for 1,000 years. Upon seeing the fight, the demigods were very surprised. Now we came to text 30. So I'll say one line, you can repeat after me.
Tato gajendrasya manobalaujasam kalena dirkena mahanabhutvyaya. Vikrishamanasya jalevasirato pipayayo bhut sakalam jalaukasam.
Tata. Thereafter, Gaja Indrasya, King of the Elephants, Mana, of the strength of enthusiasm, Bala, physical strength, Ojasam, and strength of the senses, Kalena, because of years of fighting, Dirgena, prolonged, Mahan, great, Abu became Vyaya, the expenditure. Vikrishamanasya, who is being pulled by the crocodile. Jale, into the water, a foreign place. Avasirata, reduced mental, physical, and sensory strength. Piparyaya, the opposite. Abhut became sakalam, all of them. Jaloksa, crocodile whose home is the water. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, because of being pulled into the water and fighting for many long years, the elephant became diminished in his mental, physical, and sensual strength. The crocodile, on the contrary, being an animal of the water, increased in enthusiasm, physical strength, and sensual power. Purport. In the fighting between the elephant and the crocodile, the difference was that although the elephant was extremely powerful, he was in a foreign place in the water. During 1,000 years of fighting, he could not get any food. And under the circumstances, his bodily strength diminished. And because his bodily strength diminished, his mind also became weak and his senses less powerful. The crocodile, however, being an animal of the water, had no difficulties. He was getting food and was therefore getting mental strength and sensual encouragement. Thus, while the elephant became reduced in strength, the crocodile became more and more powerful. Now, from this we may take a lesson in our fight with Maya. We should not be in a position in which our strength, enthusiasm, and senses will be unable to fight vigorously. Our Krishna consciousness movement has actually declared war against the illusory energy in which all living entities are rotting in a false understanding of civilization. The soldiers in this Krishna conscious movement must always possess physical strength, enthusiasm, and sensual power. To keep themselves fit, they must therefore place themselves in a normal condition of life. What constitutes a normal condition will not be the same for everyone. Therefore, there are divisions of Varnashram, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Especially in this age, Kali Yuga, it is advised no one takes sannyas. Ashramedam gavalambam sannyasam palapai chikam devarena sutotpatin kalapansha vivarjayat rama vivarta purana. From this we can understand that in this age the sannyas ashram is forbidden because people are not strong. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us an example in taking sannyas at the age of 24 years. But even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya advised Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be extremely careful because he had taken sannyas at an early age. For preaching, we give young boys sannyas, but actually it is being experienced that they are not fit for sannyas. There is no harm, however, if one thinks he is unfit for sannyas. If he is very much agitated sexually, he should go to the ashram where sex is allowed, namely Grihastha ashram. That one has been found to be very weak in one place does not mean he should stop fighting the crocodile of Maya. One should take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, as we shall see Gajendra do, and at the same time one can be a Grihastha if he's satisfied with sexual indulgence. There is no need to give up the fight. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore recommended Stane Stita Shuti Gatantano Vama Nobhi. One may stay in whichever ashram is suitable for him. It is not essential one takes sannyas. But if one is sexually agitated, he can enter the Grihastha ashram. But one must continue fighting. For one who is not in a transcendental position, to take sannyas artificially is not a very great credit. If sannyas is not suitable, one may enter Grihastha ashram and fight Maya with great strength. But one should not give up the fighting and go away. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langayate girim yakipantamam bande shri gurum tinatarinam om agyana timirandasya gyananja shalakaya chakshur minitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So Srimad Bhagavatam has many lessons for us to learn. If we didn't have Prabhupada's purport, we wouldn't know what the lesson was. We just would say, okay, the crocodile's getting stronger, the elephant's getting weaker. What does that mean to me? Now, Prabhupada said, this has a very, very important meaning. Here, Prabhupada says in the purport, from this we may take the lesson. In our fight with Maya, we should not be in a position in which our strength, enthusiasm, and senses will be unable to fight vigorously. And also in the purport, he says that one has been found to be very weak in one place does not mean he should stop fighting the crocodile of Maya. And so we have to be introspective. There will come times in our spiritual life where we will face difficulties. And we must be honest when we come to those times. We must question, we must ask the question, what level am I on? What level can I actually do devotional service? So there are some groups that put themselves on a very high level that they think they are in already in the spiritual world enjoying with Krishna. But it has been seen that this level does not last very long. It's very temporary. So similarly, we take our different ashrams in Krishna consciousness. And sometimes we cannot maintain that ashram, but that's no loss. We can change our ashram, but the main lesson, the main point that Prabhupada is making, don't give up the fight. No matter what happens, don't give up. Keep on trying, keep on fighting. If you have to, you go to a different position. So we have to be honest what level we're on. And Krishna helps the honest person. In Bhagavatam, in the first canto, he says, Shinvatam Sakatam Krishna Punya Sharana Kirtanam Hidantasto Hivajani Vijunoti Surit Satam. He is the friend of the Satam, the honest person. So what happens if we're honest? We try to chant for the pleasure of Krishna. We try to do our service for the pleasure of Krishna and see what are our limitations with humility. If we have humility, we can chant Hare Kirtaneya Sada Hare. We can chant Hare Krishna constantly if we have a humble state of mind. So, Satam, what happens if we're honest? Krishna will help us. He will clean our heart. He will clean our heart from all material desires. So what is the characteristic of an honest person? Satam prasangam mama virya sambhito. That he's always engaged in hearing the message of Krishna. Bhavanti hri karna rasayana katha. That this is a medicine. This is a tonic, rasayana katha. Krishna katha is a tonic for the heart. And if we take this tonic always, constantly, then Krishna will help us. He will help us to be strong. So this purport is actually talking about an incident that happened in ISKCON. When Prabhupada was here, there was one sannyasi who left Krishna consciousness and got married, and he sent his danda back to Prabhupada by mail. And there was a huge uproar and all over ISKCON, and everybody was criticizing the sannyasi. And Prabhupada was upset, not with the sannyasi, he was upset with the devotees for criticizing him. He says, Prabhupada was very upset. He was angry with these disciples who were criticizing, because he was very merciful. He said, now because of all your talk about him, you have made it difficult for him to come back. He wanted him to come back. He Prabhupada didn't see it. I was just reading a memory yesterday by Garga Muni. And Prabhupada said, somebody made a mistake, Prabhupada would give him more service. He would not take away anything from him. He would give him more service, more challenge. So I have this sannyasi's memory. He came back to Prabhupada to visit Prabhupada when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, lying on his bed, very, very sick, 1977. So here is his memory. I thought it would be nice to hear what happened when he came back to Prabhupada. Prabhupada requested I come to Vrindavan to see him. At that time I wasn't living in a temple, so I had let my hair grow a little longer. When I arrived in Delhi, I thought, well, I can't see Prabhupada like this. So I shaved up and had a big, long sikha. When I walked in Prabhupada's room, there was a very sober mood. It was dark, and devotees were morose and quiet. They told Prabhupada I had come. Prabhupada sat up in his bed and said, wow, look at his sikha. He chuckled, knowing I hadn't maintained such a nice sikha. The second thing he said was, where is your wife? You see, I had left Prabhupada. I was a sannyasi, and I left and got married. That's not the way you should do it. But Prabhupada shrugged that off. It was not important to him. He wanted to know where my wife was. Not that, why have you gotten married? Why have you done this? He wanted to know, where is she? He was fully aware I was married and had a child, and he wanted to see my wife. I said, well, Srila Prabhupada, she just had her first baby and she really doesn't want to travel. He said, that's right, she shouldn't travel. But is she feeling okay? I said, yes, she's feeling good. And you had a son? I said, yes, I had a son. I named him Abhay Charan. Is that all right? He said, yes. Then he went on to explain the famous purport in Bhagavatam about the elephant and the crocodile. Elephant is very mighty and strong, but when he enters the water, he becomes victimized by the crocodile because he's not in his proper atmosphere. If he is on land, he can crush the crocodile. But because he's in the water, he's at the mercy of the crocodile. Prabhupada said, similarly, we may be situated in the wrong atmosphere for executing Krishna consciousness with all strength and vigor. You were a sannyasi, now you're a grihastha. That doesn't make any difference. The proper thing is just go on with your Krishna consciousness. Execute it. If you can't execute it, if you are becoming weak by artificially embracing the sannyasa order, then you must take another order to become strong again. That is all right. Most important thing is to not leave association of devotees and to continue with Krishna consciousness. He made me feel so good. It was very enlivening and personal to be with Prabhupada in those days. So the word Vaishnava refers to a devotee of Vishnu. He's a representative of Vishnu. So a Vaishnava, he serves under supervision of senior devotees of the Lord. And one category of senior devotees in this world is the demigods. As the Lord's representatives, they are qualified to judge good and bad deeds of the conditioned souls. So in that sense, we could say being a devotee means to work in the Lord's courtroom. We have two choices which courtroom we want to work in. The first court is that of the empowered demigod, Mahajan devotee, Shri Yamaraj. The second court is the court of Lord Nityananda. Working in Yamaraj's court means assisting his chief secretary, Chittagupta, whose job is to note down all the mistakes and sinful acts of the conditioned souls. So what does it mean to be a helper of Chittagupta? Narada Purana says, Papinam papagananam yakaroti naradama stitte tuya papi samit yatpe tijugunam pradet. A fault finder is Naradama, lowest of mankind. If you find a fault with somebody and the sins are true, the person who is counting them, you will equally share the sin with the sinner. You will get the same reaction. But if your accusation is false, then you will get double the sin of the other person. You will get double the sin. So don't criticize others. But intelligent devotees, they want to work in the court of Lord Nityananda. He's described by a poet named Krishadas. Adoshadarshi mora prabhu nityananda napajino henu prabhu charanar vindam. Lord Nityananda is Adoshadarshi. He never sees the faults of others. So therefore the poet says, Nitai is more prabhu. He's my prabhu. Because why is he my lord? Because I have so many faults. I have no hope but approaching someone who is a dosha-darshi, who doesn't see any faults. And so, if we're busy finding faults in others, we are not worshipping Nityananda. We're working for Chittagupta. So to work in the court of Nityananda means we have to give up fault-finding and the propensity for bearing grudges. So we all have a choice, we have a decision. Which court do we want to work in? We want to work in Yamaraj's court, or we want to work in Nityananda's court. So one thing to consider is whichever court you decide to work for, you will be judged in that court. So we should work in Nityananda's court. We should not find fault. So I'd like to share with you one more thing. His Holiness Jaipataka Maharaj was asked a question. If you had free time, what would you teach your disciples? So this was asked by a devotee in Mayapur. And surprisingly, this is what Maharaj said. If I had time to teach my disciples, I would teach them to respect their parents, elders, friends, and Vaishnavas. I would teach them to help, serve, and help others in their service. I would teach them to forgive and forget the mistakes of others. I would teach them to show love, affection, and compassion toward their spiritual brothers and Vaishnavas. I would teach them to have a big heart to accept everyone without conditions. Maharaj continued and said, if you love someone, someone will love you. If you show mercy, someone will be merciful to you. If you judge someone, someone will judge you. If you have confidence and faith in someone, someone will have confidence and faith in you. If you insult someone, someone will insult you. If you encourage someone to serve Guru and Krishna, someone will encourage you in this regard. If you hurt someone, someone else will hurt you. If you show compassion in the face during pain of other devotees, or if some devotee falls and you secretly enjoy their state of heart, someone will do the same with you. So the devotee said to Maharaj, but this is material, these are mundane. Maharaj said, this is the problem with our devotees. We speak of higher principles of bhakti and we preach about Krishna consciousness, but we don't realize and assimilate these so-called simple but great human qualities, which are the basis of Vaishnava character. So I was remembering a story I saw. There was this one church in America, and they were about to get a new minister, a new preacher who was going to be in charge of their church, a new priest. So what this priest did, what this minister did, he disguised himself as a homeless person and sat on the steps of the church while all the people were coming in to the church. And some of the people were trying to push him out. Some of them were spitting on him. Some of them were disregarding him. He had a very bad experience. Then everybody was sitting waiting for the minister to come in the church, and then this homeless person comes up to the front and starts talking. And he said, "So, where is your compassion?" That was his lesson. He gave a lesson by his example that how you are judging others. They judged him. Everybody was judging this homeless person. He was the new minister that everybody was eager to meet. And so we cannot judge the heart of the devotee. We have to accept the devotee and encourage them in Krishna consciousness and encourage them not to give up fighting the war with Maya. So I'll stop here. If there's any questions or comments, you can take. Yes. Actually, Srila Prabhupada commented on that in one lecture. He said the crocodile was holding onto the lotus feet of a devotee, so he got mercy. Wasn't a very nice way of holding onto the lotus feet, but he was in touch with a Vaishnava, and that's why he got the mercy. That was very interesting, a very interesting lecture Prabhupada gave. He said, but don't do that with your guru. Don't try to give trouble to the guru. But because he was in touch with a pure devotee of Gajendra, who was a devotee, a Vaishnava, he got the mercy, somehow or other. He was also cursed too. Same story, he was also cursed. Yes, Panchakota Prabhu. Don't give in too easily. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, don't give up. Now everybody should not go and get married. Yeah.
And also, someone commits some fault. You know, it's good to excuse and forgive and whatnot. But also, we see that certain standards have to be followed. So, like,
right. Right.
You know, follow rules and regulations, but not the management.
Exactly.
So how the management can be seen as being just and fair in this kind of situation?
Yeah, how can the management be seen just and fair in case somebody does something wrong?
Yeah, and everyone's expecting, you know, they're going to crucify them or something and burn them at the stake. And well, what is it? Forgiveness? What kind of people are you? So
right.
It's between a rock and a hard place.
Right.
Yeah. You want to engage people, but at the same time, someone did something punishment so that they can actually learn by the mistake, because there are laws and rules and regulations.
Right. So we can look to Srimad Bhagavatam maybe for an answer to that question. In the first canto, there was a Brahmin, son of a guru, Ashwatthama, who committed a great mistake. And the punishment was death, but because he was a Brahmin, therefore he was not killed. But he was, his jewel was taken away, and he was sent into exile. And so we can learn from Srimad Bhagavatam how they were dealt. We can learn from Prabhupada's example. He did exile some devotees for a while, but then he accepted them again in devotional service when there was a problem in the 70s. I don't know if you were there, but you were there in 1970? No, yeah. There was a problem that there was some false preaching in ISKCON.
We know about it.
Yeah, we know about it. And Prabhupada had those devotees go out of ISKCON for a little bit, but then they came back. He accepted them back. They all went out and preached. He didn't stop them preaching. They could go out and preach, but not under the jurisdiction of ISKCON. And so something like that. We can see Prabhupada's example. We can see Bhagavatam's example. And do the best we can. Like that. Yes, question. Ladies, one lady.
I don't have a question. I just want to thank you for a very beautiful and inspirational class and for bringing that example of Prabhupada. That was really heartwarming. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, here's a question up in front. Yes, we can accept them, but Prabhupada accepted them after they showed that they were still willing to preach. It's not that he just said, okay, I forgive you, you come back. But they all went out and preached and started new temples and made lots of devotees. Then he accepted them. They showed that they were willing to preach under any circumstance. They showed their willingness to follow, and so Prabhupada accepted them after they showed their worthiness. Not that they just went out, did nothing, sat down and chant Hare Krishna. No, they went out and actively were preaching. Any other question? Mm-hmm. Gopagan.
There's a story about Prabhupada where he heard a noise that went in, and there was he opened the lid and there was a rat, and he just put the lid back and said he's finished.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I suppose what I was wondering then, there's another the story about the man who vowed honesty that he
right.
So I suppose my question is leaning towards, for the sake of preaching and higher principles, the higher principle of preaching, what I'm wondering is, are there examples where one can supersede the lower principles in order to attain the higher principle of preaching?
Well, we saw that it was happening with our book distributors by hook and by crook, and we got a very bad reputation because of that. Because the devotees were applying that principle, okay, we'll sacrifice honesty for the higher principle, somebody's going to get a book. And it didn't work. And now Vaisheshika, he's in charge of book distribution, and he's saying, it doesn't matter how many books you distribute, the most important thing is the impression you leave with the people. So they realized that was a mistake. They realized that's an example of a mistake devotees made when Prabhupada was here, and they sacrificed honesty. And because Prabhupada, he gave a way to do it, but devotees didn't do it the way Prabhupada did it. They did it their own ways, and that was not acceptable. It's not acceptable. Yeah, you have a question?
This question as well as a comment. So when you see this fight between Crocodile and Gajendra, so Gajendra was losing because it was a land animal and Crocodile was a water animal, it was getting all the required power, strength, everything. So doesn't this give a message to the management that when we select the right, when we select a reward for any service, we also have to look at the right skills, right ability, and put him at the right place so that he becomes successful, rather than giving a service which he is not inclined to, but still be somehow putting in that service. So in that case, how he will be successful? This is my thought. Like,
mm-hmm. Well, in the early days, there was no consideration of our skills. We were all on the street chanting Hare Krishna in 10-hour a day kirtan. And some of us couldn't sing very well or dance. But that was, huh? Yeah. So when you first start devotional service, there's like a trial period where you just have to be willing to do anything. And once you prove yourself, then you take initiation from the guru, and the guru helps you to find your level where you should be, and the things you can do, and also the management too. They see, okay, you're serious. You're not just going to come here for a career or something, but you're a serious devotee. Okay, give more responsibility. Any other questions? Jai Agloys. Oh, one more. Sorry. We have time.
Thank you very much for that meeting. For a moment, I'm going to this example of just sannyasi. But I just like to ask you that devotee should be honest. I would request that you can light up more about this honesty.
Well, the main honesty that is being described is honest with yourself. Know what you can do, what you cannot do. Know what your desires are, know what your spiritual desires are, know what your material desires are. But it's very interesting. Prabhupada did give some leeway. I was just reading the memory of Sridhar Swami, and Prabhupada said, ask Sridhar Swami, If you are free of 100% free of material desires, then you can take sannyas. Maharaj Sridhar Prabhu said, no, I'm not 100% free. So Prabhupada said, 75% free? He said, no, I'm not 75% free. So Prabhupada said, are you 50%? He said, 50%. He said, okay, take sannyas. So if you're 50% free, you can take sannyas, according to Prabhupada's. But now they have a whole system, so you have to wait till you're 50. And yeah, it's got to be all the way. And your oldest child has to be a certain 16 years old. You have to provide for your wife and so many things. Now there's so many conditions. Before it was very easy in Prabhupada's time. But easy come, easy go. You know, that's easy to take and easy to leave. But now they're making it much more difficult, and I think it's good. It's showing that those who new ones who come, they're staying. They're serious. No, you have to be very 5-year waiting period and so many things you have to do. Any other questions? No. Jai, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.